Amen, amen. Oh, thank you very much. Congratulations, guys. I'm so pleased that that some of you are moving on. And I look forward. Is anybody coming up? Is anyone graduating into the next year? No way. There's no one graduating from the youngers some of the grade threes? Neither of them here? Oh, well, I so much look forward to seeing new people I can teach. So I do hope to see you all next Sunday and the Sundays to come, and especially when we start off in September. Have a good summer. So today's class, it's so nice that you brought all your parents with you. I didn't bring enough handouts for everyone. I know, I'm sad too. But what I've done is you can show the first slide. What I've done is we're going to do a parable today. And so the parable is going to be for the parents and for you guys as well. So sometimes I'm going to go and talk to the parents. And the reason I have to go and talk to them is if I don't, they fall asleep. So sometimes I might be over there and I'll talk to them. But I'll come over here. What I have for you guys is I'm going to teach you three prayers that you can pray for your parents today. Okay? So we'll practice them here in church, and then, of course, you can do them at home as well, because your prayers are very important. We pray in church, and you know your prayers get answered. Okay, so the parable that I have today, maybe I'll ask the adults, because they don't go to Sunday school, but maybe they know. Does anybody have a good description of what a parable is? No, wait, raise your hand. No, you're a teacher. I want one of the. Please, what's a good? A story with a lesson. That's right. And Jesus taught in parables, and he taught to give an example, something that people could see and understand, but it had a spiritual truth to it. And so today we're going to do a parable. And this particular parable, we're going to do the parable of the sower. So if you've brought your Bible, you can open your Bible to this passage. Now, if you're not using your Bible, you're using your Bible for other things, like playing games, switch it over. That's the problem with the iPhones and stuff. It's so easy to Candy Crunch. Okay. See, my old-fashioned. Good to stub your toe with. Okay. So, in this particular parable that we're going to do, this is the parable of the farmer that goes out and he sows seed. And I think it's important that we understand who the farmer is. So I know that I've taught my class this, and so I'm going to ask my class, in this particular parable, who is the farmer? Go ahead, David, you raised your hand first. It is God. Very good. And normally the answer is normally God or love. One of those two answers pretty well should get 95% of the questions correct. Okay, it is. It is God. Now, here's the more difficult one. What is the seed that the sower, that God is putting out in the earth? Go ahead, Elizabeth. It's not people, but it's a good answer. David, you want to try? It's not faith. Does anybody else? It's actually in the passage. Does anybody know what is the seed that God puts out? Stick up your hand. My goodness. It is the Word of God. That's right. And the importance of this is that the Word of God can be anything. It can be life. It is the life that we as people need to grow, to mature, to exist. It's that Word. And the great thing about the Word of God is it's uncorruptible. It lives forever. As you'll notice in this particular story, the Word never goes bad. The soil might not be the best, but the Word is pure. And that's important. You can never have a bad Word. It might not be delivered really well, but the Word of God is always good. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I broke it off into, instead of reading this whole passage out, I'm going to break it off and we're going to go to one section at a time. Oh, go back to the last slide, because I'll show you the four slides. So there's four types of soil in this passage. We talk about the dry path. We talk about the rocky path. We talk about the weeds. And then we talk about the good soil. And the point of this particular story, or what I want to share, is how to make good soil. How to make good soil in your kids. Okay? Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, Dan, I don't have kids. Well, get some. If you need help to get kids or how to get kids, talk to Kevin. Kevin knows how to get kids. He's an elder. He will walk you through the process of how to get kids. Now, you might say, well, wait a minute, Dan. I'm old and decrepit, and I don't want kids. Well, get some older kids. The great thing about this earth is that there is a lot of orphans, and they're everywhere. And you can find kids anywhere in your life. They're not resigned to just in your house. So if you're not producing them, you need to find some. And that's important because, of course, even in this passage with God, God is putting out this seed everywhere. Everyone is receiving this word. We need to be finding those people that are receiving that seed. And it's everyone. And with kids, the great thing about kids, and especially even older kids, is that they're a lot of fun. Kids are a lot of fun. You'll learn so much about God if you find and have kids, because the Father loves kids. That's why he calls himself a father. Could have picked lots of titles, but he's a father at his heart. He loves kids, and he loves to bring people into his family. And so I encourage you, you should have some kids that you know that you are discipling. If you don't have someone you're discipling, then it's very hard to follow the great commission that Christ has put out for us. So find some kids. Either make some or find some. Okay, the hard path. Okay, so as he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Now I'm going to skip ahead. When anyone hears this message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed that is sown along the path. And understanding, I think, is the key thing here. And also for with your kids or even with people that you're discipling, a lot of times, especially in our culture, we're so knowledge-based. We think that if we just give the information, if we just put that information out there, if we just tell and speak and teach and teach and teach and teach, they'll get it. But that's not the issue. The enemy can come even against those people that know things and steal from them word. It's people that understand how to apply that. Understanding is so important. And so there's some passages I'm going to read, but this one passage, if there's any passage to put in your house or that should be a mantra when you're teaching kids or you're doing discipleship, it's this one. I had to memorize this when I was young, and it's still, to me, the foundation of all good teaching, and it's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You should have had this memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Okay. The whole thing of bringing up your kids is to bring them to a place where they understand in their relationship with God how to be with God and how to use God. It's an understanding. And so I encourage you as parents with your kids to demonstrate with them, not just give them knowledge, but demonstrate in your own life how you are working out your relationship with God. So include them with the things that are on your heart. Even though I understand that some of those, your issues or the things that you're dealing with the Lord may not be fully applicable to them, but it's good if they get to see how you pray. It's good if they get to see that, you know, you're working out your relationship and how it evolves. And when you're doing discipleship as well, it's not just about giving a booklet and say, once we get through this booklet, you'll get it. You have to walk them through your own relationship with the Lord so that they can take that upon themselves and see. And that, you see that so clearly with the disciples and how they followed Jesus. They saw him on good days. They saw him on bad days. They saw him when he suffered. They saw him when he excelled. And they were able to gather, okay, I understand. He trusts God. When he prays, God answers Jesus. And I think that's important for us as to bring up that dry ground, is to fill it with that area. Now, for children, and I'm going to bring this over here. I have a prayer for you. Now, before you change, there you go. I got to tell you a secret. Parents, they don't know everything. In fact, even when it comes to raising kids, we really don't know that much. A lot of times we're guessing. Or if we're lucky, we've maybe read a book. Or we've had good parents that have maybe helped us a little bit and we follow them. But to be honest, we really don't know. And even in our own relationship with God, we watch other people, but sometimes there's a lot of things we just don't understand. So one of the things that I want you guys to pray for your parents, because it's important for them and it's important for us, is that they would have good wisdom, right? And the best part is, when we need anything, who do we go for? Tiffany? We go to God. God has all the good things that we need. And so this particular prayer, we're asking God for something that He promises to give us. He says in James that those who ask, He will give wisdom. Of course, you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, well, you're just asking for something that you don't really believe. So, but I believe, and I know you guys do as well, that God gives it. So, why don't you guys stand up, and we're gonna do this verse. I'm gonna say it, and then you repeat after me, okay? Okay, you ready? Father God, I know You know all the answers. Give my parents wisdom so that they make good decisions with You. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Next one, rocky soil. So, some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered it because it had no roots. Now, seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no roots, it only lasts for a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Now, this one I love. Devotions, discipline, repeat. To me, that sums up everything you need to know with good parenting and breaking and bringing out good soil. Devotions, discipline, and repeat, and being consistent. I think part of those two things, if you're going to do devotions and you're going to do discipline, you have to have some form of goal, some form of measurable outcome. We are not in the business of making kids and keeping them. There is a purpose that we have with them. We want them to become productive. We want them to become parents. We want them to become disciples and disciplers. We want them to produce more than just takers. So there is an end goal that we have that we want to see, and we want to instill that into them. And that takes devotions, and that takes discipline. And devotions that I love, because devotions is, that's the sharing of what you have with your children. And it isn't intentional. They can't just watch you from afar. It is something you have to get involved with. Now, often when I think of devotions, I think of what my parents did with me, which is dinner time. We sat down, and after dinner, we read some Bible. We maybe prayed or sang a song or did something. And I think that's fantastic. But devotions, there is no limit to devotions in Scripture. In fact, if you read through Deuteronomy 6, Moses goes on and on. Look, when you're lying down, teach your kids. When you're walking, teach your kids. When you're in the car, teach your kids. If you're at soccer practice, teach the kids. If you're watching TV, teach the kids. You know, every time, write it on their forehead, strap it onto their arm, put it on the house, put up some signs. It doesn't matter. Everything, those are all part of devotion. It's being real with what you have in the Lord and bringing your kids involved in that. And the discipline part is interesting because I know a lot of times discipline is not spanking. Discipline is not just go to your room. That's not what God talks about when he talks about. Did you know who here on earth never ever sinned? Does anybody know? Who is sinless? What person has never ever sinned on earth? Go ahead, David. Jesus, that's right. Did you know that his father disciplined him? How do you discipline someone if your idea of discipline is to make them perfect? That's not the point of discipline. That's perfect is the benchmark. That's the beginning. God creates everyone good. They're all perfect. You don't discipline to bring them up just to the normal level. Discipline is to bring them to the extraordinary. Discipline brings them to a place that in any situation they can handle truth and live a life and be prosperous and successful in any kind of environment. That's what discipline does. So discipline in Christ was to bring them where he'll go to the cross, where he'll give up his life. Discipline is to, I will listen to the Lord and give what the Lord asks me. Not myself, but what the Lord. I trust the Lord. That's the kind of discipline that you want to bring and instill in your kids. And it should be measurable. I have certain things that I want my kids to be disciplined in. I want them to be able to do their homework without me begging them. I want them to be able to feed themselves and cook for the family. I want them to be able to take care of themselves and pray with other people and not feel embarrassed or ashamed. So there's certain things that I discipline them in. But it has a purpose and it has a direction. It's something that I want to see them and be able to attain. So discipline is very important. And of course, likewise, so is devotion. Now, I'll take this with me. You know, we were just talking about discipline and we were talking about devotion. And I have to tell you a secret. Even when you get older, we can still be very lazy. In fact, a lot of times we, and you maybe have seen this, we come home from work, we're a little tired, and all we really want to do is just watch TV or maybe the game or read a book. No, we don't want to read a book or go to bed. We love to go to bed. It's one of the most exciting things that we tend to do every day. I just love to go to bed. I don't know if you've noticed that in your parents, but they really love to go to bed. You guys don't want to go to bed. They love it. That's right. So laziness is something that sometimes for us, you know, we don't persevere as much as we should. And we need encouragement. And what do we need encouragement in? We really need encouragement that we would pursue after the Lord and that we would love the Lord in our fullness in everything that we do. So I have this prayer for you. So if you'll stand up and you can repeat after me. Okay, ready? Dear Lord, help my mom and dad to love you with all their heart and with all their soul, and with all their strength. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, last one, weeds. Lots of weeds. I have my oldest is 13 going on 14 this year. I won't talk about you even though you're here. I'm entering into that teenage years. She has learned a lot. She has more devotions than any of my other kids do because she's been around me a lot longer. She's had opportunity to be involved in a lot more because of her age. Most of her clothes are firsts, right? She gets all the good stuff. She gets to stay up later. She gets the responsibility. She had a graduation this week from elementary school, from grade 8. And she dressed in a dress that made her dad very uncomfortable. Yeah. And then I saw the bill and I was very uncomfortable. It's tough. Being a teenager, I think, is a fascinating time. All of a sudden, their personality becomes a lot more robust. All of a sudden, discipline and devotions doesn't become the key thing so much in their life. What I find becomes, because they're ready to grow. Man, they take the word, they love the word, they'll run with the word. But I find it's off in the weeds, and really what it is it becomes perspective. Perspective is one of those key areas that I think, especially here in the West as well, in our particular society, because we're so independent, and because we have so much, and it's so easy for us to do things on our own, we sometimes forget that everything still flows one way, and that's from God the Father. And everything should be seen only one way, and that's from God the Father. And only things can be received by only one way, and that's through God the Father. Perspective is so critical in this type of discipleship and this type of training. They need to understand how love works, how it flows, where it comes from, how it returns. And you might say, well, that seems kind of really hairy-fairy and hard to understand. It is, but the importance of perspective is that you have to change from looking at yourself and it's about you to looking outside and how the Lord is using you and moving through you. And so I'm going to put it in these three words, and this seems very American, but God, family, and country. You can change the last one. It can be God, family, kingdom, God, family, ministry, God, family, the church. But those three things, that's the perspective that every disciple, every child needs to have. They need to know, not the order of it, but how those things flow. That God works in us, not for just ourselves, but He works in it that we'd give praise to God, that we are in a family unit, where we're with one another and we're supporting one another and we're a blessing to one another, and at the same time to the country outside, even those people we don't know intimately, we have an impact and make a difference. And the Lord constantly is moving that way. And so the small things in life become very, very small with perspective. And when you have big eyes with the Lord, you're able to see much better, much clearer. And then worries become, those are God's issues. They're not my issues. You know? If the enemy is coming against me, it's not me. That's God's problem. The Lord will take care of the enemy. I just need to be faithful to God. It's a perspective issue. Okay, guys. One more thing about your parents. Your parents can be very insecure. It's very common. They even though we get older, they still worry about a lot of things. And maybe you've heard them. They worry about their car, or worry about work, or worry about money, worry about you, or worry about whether their team is going to make it to the playoffs. They worry. And it's not that there's anything wrong with them. That's very much this age. But does God worry? No, God doesn't worry. In fact, God is the most confident and secure and strongest person that I know. Nothing shakes him. And especially his love towards us and towards you. Nothing deters him from loving you and being faithful to you. So I'm going to read you a little psalm. Psalm 121. And then this is how God sees you and how God sees your parents. I lift my eyes up to the mountain. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. The Lord watches over you and he doesn't sleep. Indeed, he watches over your parents and he neither sleeps nor slumbers. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is like a house to you. The sun will not hurt you by day and the moon by night. He protects you all the time. That's his heart towards us. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your whole life. The Lord will watch over you coming and going, both now and forevermore. Okay? So I have the last prayer. You want to stand up? The last prayer for your parents. And you're awesome. Thank you, Father, for helping us with our needs. Please help my parents to focus on you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Okay. Now, the best part of all of this, the reason we want to have good soil, the reason we pray for our parents, is the Lord's promise to us is that the word of life that he gives us, the seeds that he gives us, produces what? It produces fruit. I don't know if you can see from, it's a little hard from where you guys are. Can you see how many different types of fruit and vegetables are in that picture? It's a little bit much to count. Half of those things have seeds. Most of those are seed-bearing fruits. So they even produce more life, which is the fascinating thing about the Lord, is that he gives you life and then makes even more life through you. But that's his desire, is to make you prosperous, to make your family amazing, to make your family the best family on the block. That is his goal and his desire. And that your parents are absolutely the best parents. You might say, well, I know my parents are the best parents. No, I mean the really best parents. Parents that other kids come to you and say, I wish your parents were my parents. That type of parents. That's right. So you need to encourage your parents. Pray for your parents. Don't let them just tell you what the Lord says. You tell them what the Lord says. They need to be reminded. And so if they're getting a little upset or a little angry, you can pray. You can pray out loud. Dear Jesus, give my mom wisdom. Let her focus on you, Lord. Amen. That's a good prayer. Okay? And you'll produce more and more life in your family. Let me pray for all of you guys, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that as the good sower, you don't look for just perfection in us. Lord, you are always sowing life into us. No matter what stage we're in, no matter where we're at, no matter even what we believe or what we fully understand, you are just such a life giver. You desire to breathe into us more and abundant life. I just thank you for that, Father. I thank you, Lord, that in us our desire is to be good soil. We want to see the life that you give us multiply 100 times, 60 times, 30 times. Lord, we want to see it evolve and grow and spread in our own life, in our house, in our church, in our community, in this world, Lord. We want to see it go everywhere. Wherever we go, we bring life. And so, Lord, I just thank you that in this house, we are good soil. In this house, Lord, you remove the dry path, you pull the rocks away, you kill the weeds, and you, Lord, will have your way with us. I just praise you, Jesus. Thank you for these wonderful, great disciples that will be disciplers to the world and to the nations. And Lord, we thank you that you watch over all of us as a good, loving Father. In Jesus' name, amen.